Now this is Sister Isabel from Canada. Right, she's an elderly lady, a sister who came into our website because of the problem that she faced in the churches. You know, all the churches today in the world are very corrupt and very commercialized, and a lot of false doctrine has been taught. So she came up in our website. So she calls me, asked me a question. So when I reply her, I said, Sister, it's about the third coming now. They're asking about the third coming. Somebody is preaching all that nonsense on the website. As I said here, the doctrine that Christ has come, that he is here, is taught by Donald Pennell. His website is called the Third Testament. He believes that there are three testaments when there are only two, old and new. He teaches that the first is of Adam, the second is of Christ, and the third of Branham. He teaches that Christ has already come, and that's why there is no need for communion and feet washing. As long as people teach us from the code of Branham, they will be messed up, not because Branham's code are false, but because these people are not looking at the Bible. Okay, so I said the first coming of Christ is Bethlehem, the second coming is after rapture, and the third coming of Christ is Armageddon before he sits to rule the world for 1,000 years. Then he wrote me, he said, Brother Grant, thank you for your teachings to me. I really appreciate that. Now, Canada is a French-speaking country, most of them. You would know, huh? So her English is not really that good anyway. I guess she speaks a lot of French. I understand the way you teach it scripturally. What these people of Panel are saying is that when the Lord came into our heart to save us, that is the third coming, because we are all in the club with Brother Branham. Everything is very confusing for me. I believe in the third coming, and I accept it the way you presented according to the scripture, first coming of Christ, Bethlehem, second coming of Christ, at the rapture, third coming of Christ, at the Armageddon before he sits to rule the world for 1,000 years. But they said that when the Lord came to our hearts, the Holy Spirit of God, that is the third coming. And that's what they are saying. No more resurrection of the dead. That already happened. No more hid tombs. They are saying that when we sleep, the theophany goes to talk to people, and then later on the theophany wakes me up. Now you can see how confused all this teaching come from, where the teaching come from. Alright? Now I'm going to deal with it. What I'm going to deal with today is the will of God, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. Alright? That resurrection I already have. Excuse me, it sounds so weird. I do not understand a thing. They talk to me and they talk to me and I go blank. Cannot get a word of what they say. I wasted so many years in the Catholic Church. Then another many years in the Pentecostal harlot churches. And then another 14 years wasted in the Branhamite churches. The teaching in those churches completely ruined my thinking. Now I'm studying again. All seems to be new to me, because obviously when you are caught up in all the confusion, when you start learning things, the truth, you find things new. You don't know, you know, how that on earth that I'm not getting this when I'm in those churches. Alright? And the teaching in those churches completely ruined my thing, and now I'm studying again. All seems new to me. I do not want to waste more years. Like you well told me, we are near the end. So get ready is what I desire. I desire to learn what is the Holy Spirit. Baptism. I need to know all. I told you many times, I'm very dumb in many ways. The English made me slower to learn. I got to read and read and read again, and that really slowed me down. So, with your way of teaching, I go with your writings and the Bible, and it is word upon word. I can put my finger in the books that I have to download and print one by one. It took me a long time, but now I have them all. I find your teaching very clear, inspiring from the Word of God. I do understand more. The Bible says that when they tell me that He is here, that is Christ is here or there, believe it not. So the things they say are way too much complicated for me. Don't know why I get so confused. I even get headaches of trying to figure it out. That is very true. I cannot keep on trying to give them this message. I just have to stop listening to this thing. Cannot help them. I give them your website, but they are not accepting it. I send them your email. Nothing changes, and I feel very inadequate to do more. The Bible said if an angel of heaven comes to me with another doctrine or gospel, not to accept it because they are cursed. So I will just pray for them. I just cannot keep on giving them scripture and your quotes. I feel very tired, useless to do it. They believe everybody is wrong. Forgive my attitude. But they are very precious people to me. But they are not receiving anything. So could I be doing the wrong thing? What if I'm doing the wrong thing? I'm in a real turmoil. Thank you, Sister Isabel.
I replied to her, I said, my dear sisters, about being tied up in the religious churches all those years has certainly taken a toll on your spiritual life and thinking. Just look at the Catholic Church. Just look at the Catholics. How are they so blind to the truth, even when it's right in front of them? They cannot see because they're swimming in darkness. When they see a tiny light, they will just freeze and they just go about in their daily religiosity of their blindness. For you, you have been given grace. You have the desire to swim towards the light, to grasp the truth, the way and the light. The more you swim towards the light, the brighter it will be in your life. And the further away from all those confusion that you are still trying to, they are still trying to hold you. As to your friends and loved ones, just to be a real believer of Christ, just be a real believer of Christ and His Word. Stay in the truth, live your life in simplicity and confession of the truth. Keep looking at the Word and keep walking in the light you have received. Be obedient in the knowledge you have and submit yourself to the Lord. If you do not have revelation of the truth, you cannot impart what you do not understand. So it is important for you to get knowledge. The rest is in God's hand. I quote this few quotes to her. Job said that if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Who is this that darken knowledge, darken counsel by word without knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. God bless. Alright, so now this is basically what happened in the world today. We have a lot of Christians, a lot of believers, they are so confused, they don't know what they are looking at. Now, I remember now, the next one I have sent to you, those of you who have sent me email. If you do not want to give me your email, you're not going to get anything. If I send one over to you, they are important for you to look at. Sometimes we call it just some little article. But this recent few weeks, I have sent to you two articles, two websites that were posted on the internet. Okay, and they are important because the Bible says, be watchful, watch and pray. You understand? And if you are not watching and you're not praying, you know one thing, there's somebody else who sent me, Sister Jenny Piper from Nebraska, sent me an email and asked me to look upon this website. Somebody just set it up only last year in March. And so apparently he's writing a lot, very intelligent person, asking the question about the third pool. And he was frustrated also with all the confusion. So now he put up his website and he's a very intelligent person, but he can himself all, you know, very in a strange, mysterious manner of writing. You know, and so we are seeing a lot of things that is going on in the world today. Alright, and I want you to be very watchful because you know what, the rapture is already upon us. And if you are not getting ready to be going home, then you will not be ready to go home. You understand this? People think, well, I'm a child of God, I'm going to rapture. That is not true. That is not true. You have you know how many million came out of Egypt? They all died up in the wilderness. Only those who are 20 and above, the only 2% that got into Canaan land was Joshua and Caleb. Alright, the rest of them died in the wilderness. They are supposed to be God's children. But what did God refuse to give them? Their entry into Canaan land and let them die out there in the wilderness. And certainly you do not want to die out in the wilderness of the great tribulation that is coming. Because God is sealing the people that are willing to walk with Him, really walk with Him. Not people who are just half past six. We have a lot of Christians. They go to church, go home, go to church, go home. They say, I'm a Christian, I'm good. Oh yes, you are. That's what Israel all said that they are. And Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. I want you to remember that. Because we have been in this truth for how many years? I have been in this message truth for since 1971. I've been a Christian when I was 12 years old. And now I'm 65 years old. I'm still walking in the light. I'm keep on going because what Brother Paul quoted that verse on scripture. Psalm 27 verse 4, 5 and 6. Isn't it? Man? I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. I desire to be in the house of the Lord. That is what I want to be. And be a house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? Is to be a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Now I want you to look at this one here. I sent you this email, but I want to say something here. Alright. I have sent you this link. Now this is the link where just very recently posted on the website. It's a news. Okay, it was about, if you remember what looking at, it was Kenneth Copeland, the charismatic one, the charismatic preacher in America, making a whole lot of money. He's a multi-millionaire. Okay? He has got a lot of audience that feel that he is a great prophet of God. Alright? And he's in charismaticism. Now, in that, I was looking at it, and at the end, I mean, because he introduced someone who was a bishop, and who was an ambassador, so to speak, for Vatican, for the Pope, for the now present Pope Francis. And he read, and then after that, he shows a video of the Pope sending greetings to the people. And you know what? That is something which I told you many years ago. Now, here's what I wrote to you, remember, for those who are not receiving this. As I said before, charismaticism is a tool in the hand of Satan to bring about, to bring all denominations together under one head. It is aiding the spirit of ecumenism by helping to bring all the tasks together to form a one world church, organized under the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, that is, love and unity. To achieve this, Satan must destroy the very truth that is being restored in this last day church. Right? Okay? And through charismaticism, he is able to achieve this very easily. Sometimes, something he could not do before it exists. Remember, this is what's written 11 years ago in a book called The Tango Gene, under the subheading The Oil Merchant. I preached this message back in 11 years ago because I know that ecumenism, now ecumenism started back in the 30th, 20th century. Okay? Alright. And then it developed into what we call, what they call the National Council of Churches. And Singapore have National Council of Churches. Every country have National Council of Churches. They want to organize, bring all the churches together and bring them all back to Rome. Do you understand? Outside of that is known as the World Council of Churches, the big body, which was formed in 1948. Okay, now the thing is this, how is Satan going to achieve ecumenically? We know that the churches are coming together. But how would it really achieve? To what means? And I believe that's why back then, when I saw what charismaticism was, when it came to Singapore in the 60s, and I began to see how dangerous it was for this movement. And I realized that as I studied, when the Lord began to reveal and show me that the only way that Catholicism will be able to blend in with the Protestant churches is through the means of charismaticism. Charismaticism transcends all boundaries of any organization that is religious. And even it crossed the border from Christianity to Buddhism to Hinduism to Baism, you know, Baha'ism, to any religion. Do you know that? They're bringing all the religion together. And this is what exactly, when we see the, when you see the video, you see how the charismatic church is willing to accept the Pope. And from there on, it's going to be an easy means of getting to all the other churches, because a lot of churches are influenced by charismaticism. You understand what I'm saying now? Alright. Let us go to the book of the scripture right now. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Alright. Alright, let us read verse 20 to 21. So we stand up and read these two verses. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, take these two verses of Scripture, Lord, and break it down to our needs, Father, at this time, to make us to understand, Father, the hour that we live in and who we really are. Father, if we have not come to that place of understanding, we pray that, Lord, you quicken our hearts now in our spirit and our mind to the Holy Word, and to bring it to the intents of our spirit and soul, Lord, and that, Lord, we can fully grasp, Father, the importance of this very hour we live in, that we must really walk in thy will. So, Father, we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we live in a world where we are seeing right now not just about political crisis and financial crisis that will affect the natural people, the physical side of life. We are seeing also a lot of prevailing global warming, which of course are laws that are making money they couldn't care less. They will say that there's no such thing as global warming, it's one of those natural phenomena. But I said this, that when you see this, what you see last year, beginning of last year, how that there's that, you know, in Southeast Asia section of the world, we see a lot of typhoon and storm and rain, and Philippines has been bombarded by it real bad. And then you have also in Japan, and you know, but as it comes down to the end of last year to this last few months, even right now, the cold spell in Europe, in America is still not letting up. It's still there. And Singapore has not had proper rain for the last few weeks. You know. And when the rain is going to come next few weeks, I guess it's going to be very heavy and it's going to be very humid. And all the weather is going to get hotter. And I believe by April it's going to get real hot. And so will the Philippines. You know. And the world, you know, you have, as you all know about this La Nina, La Nino phenomenon, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, these are signs of the time. The Bible tells us about the signs of the thing that will come to pass. Remember in the book of Matthew chapter 24, you hear wars and rumors of war, family impertinences, and all these things. When you see this sign, you know, it is very near. You know. But you know, one thing about this, we do not know the day and the hour of Christ coming. But we should know the season that we live in. Is that right? And we are already looking at, we have been always looking at prophetic scripture, trying to look, by God's help, trying to find the timeline, the chronology of time, and see when Christ would come. Everybody desires Christ to come. Unless, of course, you are going to become a millionaire. Next 2 months, you probably don't want him to come. But we all desire him to come, surely. So, when we are looking into the word of the Lord, we are now living in the year 2014. 2014. And then if we look at what we already said before, if Christ says that this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled, and if we use another types and try to find out whether this will be the kind of a pattern in the Bible. Christ came in 0 BC. 70 AD, we know Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed. 70 years. Because the disciples were asking Jesus Christ, when Christ said that there will be not one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down. When he talked about the temple being destroyed. So 70 AD, Titus came and his people came and destroyed the temple. And there was not one stone left upon another on top of it, because the Romans were getting at the gold. It was used to, you know, decorate the whole of this temple by King Herod. So now we, Jesus said also, said, behold the fig tree and all other trees. When you see the fig tree putting on leaves, you know summer is near. And we know fig tree represents Israel. And all other trees represent all other nations. Like Singapore, Hong Kong, India, which became independent after 1948 started. So in 1948, they come a rebirth of Israel. You put 70 years to that, it will come to 2019. Is that right? So would it be 70 years that we are looking at? But right now, we are living in 2014, and we have probably another 4 years left. But we are looking also at the signs that is around us, that are around us in this world. Look at the nation. There's so much unrest in so many countries. Thailand, Ukraine, even in Africa they have a problem which is hardly, you know, you don't read about it. You don't find it on the news. But BBC, you go to BBC.com, you find it because they do more on that side. Famines, a lot, droughts, flooding in those countries, diseases, children dying. And here we have, in this little country, where we all find, well, we have a wonderful nation here. We have what we want. You can buy anything that you want. Sure. And people are getting too comfortable. And I'll tell you one thing, this is very true. We are in our comfort zone, and that we just don't think much about our spiritual life, really. Go to Africa, it's a whole different story. They are poor, they don't have what you have. They don't even have 10% of what we have in this country. When we talk about going to church, they go to church. When you go about meeting, they go. They don't have any excuses. But we have a lot of excuses. Sure, we have a lot because we want to give excuses. You know why? It's because we are lazy. We are slothful. We procrastinate to come into fellowship. But we ought to. Why is it difficult for us to come on Friday? It's difficult because we are working, we say. We complain and all that. When I was in the Assemblies of God, I go to church, every church service they have, I go. Because I want to know truth. I desire to know truth. You know. The fear of the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You need to have the reverence for God. Then you begin to get His knowledge of who He is, who you are. And here we have Paul encouraging every one of us. You know, in this verse 21, perfect in every good work to do His will. We in the world today, you know what? We get so upset when somebody touches you, or make you angry, or make you upset, slap you on the left cheek, you slap fast, very automatically, very quickly. Isn't it? Jesus said, when somebody slap you on your right side, give him your left. You know. Everybody wants justice. In all many countries, there is no justice. Many countries, there is no justice. But people want justice. No one thinks about justice. There is no justification by law. Do you understand? When somebody did something to us, we sue them. We want the law to deal with this. Because that's justice. Well, that is the natural self of the law. Like when you come across, but to us as a Christian, if a brother did something to you or a sister did something to you, what are we supposed to? You're supposed to forgive. Have mercy. You know. Because there's no justification by law. Now when we look at the condition of the church, look at the church as a special now, because I want to deal with this issue as Christian people. We look at the Catholic Church in the news. Why do you think the last pope resigned? I sent you the video. What's in the news? It's a 1.5 hour, I think, documentary. Why did the last pope resign? When you see that, you make you sick. Why? That's why he resigned. And a lot of Catholic people, I pity them because they don't even know what's going on in their own churches. They just go to church, say Hail Mary, and said whatever, and they go home. And you try to tell them the truth, they say, come on, man. That's not true, man. Our church is the mother church for so many thousands of years. You have been deceived. Watch the documentary and you see it. Yeah, videotape, hidden camera, facts. A lot of sexual abuse in the church, monastery. Years ago, in the 1960s, I got a book this thick as my Bible. It is entitled 50 Years in the Church of Rome. Who wrote that? By Father Charles Cheneke. The Catholic Church burned that book, tried to destroy the book. I was able to get a copy. When I read it through, I cried. I just couldn't believe. That man was 50 years in the Church of Rome. The priest. He witnessed everything that is going on. Child abuse. Rape the nun. Kill the nun. Bury them in the monastery in the backyard. And the filthiness of it. The Bible talks about the Catholic Church being very filthy in the Bible. They said, no, that's not true. That's not for the Catholic Church. That's not about the Catholic Church. Really, no. The confession box is one of the worst things that ever existed. The priest goes to the confession box and the person goes there and says, Father, I've sinned. And he's asked, what have you seen? Oh, Father, I cannot describe to you. No, you must describe to me. You must tell me what exactly was. I do not know how to forgive your sin. Because he's the Father, he forgives the sin. How can man forgive another man's sin? Only God can forgive your sin. And here was the story of a young girl who commits some sexual affair. And the priest says, describe to me every detail how you do it. How you do it. You want to know all the story of how a person doing all the lovemaking and all the fornication? You want to get the detail. And the girl says, I can't tell you all that. Then your sins are not forgiven. Well, I couldn't believe that thing. And what about the Protestant churches today? How corrupt they are. You know, we don't know a lot of things that's going on in the church, but there are a lot of things that's going on in the church. No church is perfect. Not even this church. Your individual life. Not because this whole church here, I mean the truth that you're going to make it. No. God deals with individual, remember? That's what it is. So if you don't get right with the Lord, how are you going to go? When God called the disciples, he called them one by one. He didn't call them as a family. That's true. The churches have problems. Some of them are dealing with only, like you know, some Presbyterian church here in Singapore. They're fighting over the authenticity of the King James Version. They say the King James Version is the accurate one, is no other version. Huh? That the King James Version, every word is God's sight on. That is not true. This is a translation. Remember some words in Italian are edited? So how can you say that is a word for word translation? Yes. But there are still some words that need to make it to give their understanding. And there are even some discrepancy in the King James Version. That's how they came out with the modern King James Version. They have the RV version. But because some version of the Bible is terrible. Like the NIV. It should never be used for doctrine. You know. Do you see what I'm telling you? Then we have the charismatic churches. Look at the charismatic church. Well, you have the City Harvest. What's out there? Money. Manipulation of money. Enter into the pop world. Entertainment world. And that's what charismaticism really is. It's all about entertainment. You know what? If I want to engage some good singer, gospel singer, every Sunday, bring here. I can tell you I would draw a whole lot of bunch of young people to this fellowship. Because everybody likes to... Hey, everybody, you know what music is? It's something that affects the soul. Isn't that true? True. Go to Africa. Walk the street there, you know, and somebody's African, they would like to... Because the African people, they are practically affected by slavery and poverty. So what make them, you know, keep them going is the song. What keep the Jew going, even in the Holocaust, is because they're humorous. The Jews survive because they are full of humor. They take life, they enlighten their life by creating jokes and humor. You know what I mean? So that they will pass away in their suffering. The African is different. Oh Lord, how come me here? You know how they would sing those Negro spiritual? Yes. And today, wow, we got all kinds of beat. First we have the pop beat, and the K-pop beat, the J-pop beat. And then what we have? The rock beat, and then we have the hard rock beat, and we have the... What is that other? The hard rock, and then, huh? Metal beat! I don't know whether really meet the battle. And you got all kinds of beat, and you know what? It adds into the church. That's why the church have gospel rock. You know what gospel rock is?
Yes.
It's true. The wonder of Bob Larson, a young musician who was in rock and roll music in the early days. He probably passed away now, being old. He came to Singapore one time and he preached. And he had a book written, he called Rock and Roll to Hell. He became a Christian. He realized how rock and roll music drives people away and get themselves into that the feeling. And today, not only just rock and roll, you have the internet. What? Conquer and conquest, what is that? Combine and conquer and Diablo and, you know, all those play. People they play, huh? And there are some countries in China, people play until they don't even bathe. I couldn't believe what I read. They didn't even bathe. There was this guy, the sister in the place, in the shop, day in and day out, sleep there, and hardly even bathe. Until even the owner have to tell him to get off, because it smells. Become addict. People are addict to a lot of things. Here we are as a Christian. What are we going to do about this kind of life that we are affected by? The question right now is this. The will of God. Are you in the will of God? Do you have the will of God? You know, 95% of us Christians desire, yeah. We all desire to be in the will of God. But what are you going to do about it? Everybody wants the will of God, sure. Huh? Alright, look at all here in Hebrew again. Chapter 13. Verse 21, make you perfect. Okay, let us read from verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, the God of peace, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is pleasing in His sight, to Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See the word, make you perfect? Every good work, His will. So when we talk about the will, what is will? There are three kinds. Will can be heavenward, huh? Or earthward, or hellward. Huh? Isn't that right? And we need to know that when you talk about heavenward, we are the desire of looking for it. Looking for the thing that God speaks about. How many of you are looking for His coming? Huh? You're looking for His coming. So when we are looking for His coming, there must be the desire, and the desire must come along with knowledge. Because, yeah, desire is coming. And then there's nothing being done. Oh, I want to go to university. What do you want to be? Like maybe ask those who, I mean, well, I think most of you have completed the schooling though. Maybe ask, you know, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Tell me, what do you want to be? A what? HR. Do the HR work. Okay, well, if you want to be that, do you think you need to study? Okay, of course. Some people say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a rocket scientist. And they don't study, they think they can be a rocket scientist. Your desire must be moved by knowledge. What about earthward? Now you have over the carnal. You know, earthward is terrible. It is always the carnal side. You know, you have the slave towards self. Jonah is a good case. Huh? God said, Jonah, Jonah, come here. Can you go to Nineveh? Nah. That people out there, they are wicked people. You want me to go there, Lord? You've got to be kidding. They are wicked. No, Nineveh, they are not Israel people, huh? They are Gentiles. And God here is showing, you know, grace to the Gentiles because the wicked let them repent and God will not punish them and not judge them. Jonah was afraid. Oh, well, maybe he was not afraid. Maybe he just so self-righteous. Or maybe that he was just slothful. Ah, that's a long way to go, Father. Whatever the reason, whatever he wanted to give, he said, I'm not going. So he tried to keep away from that city as far as possible and went in the other direction. Well, okay, you know, that is self-centeredness of caring about himself. But you want him for sure. God had called Jonah. Jonah must fulfill his work. Remember? God had called you, he will finish the job for you. And if you are disobedient, something is going to happen, just like it happened to Jonah. Took the ship and went to sea far away from Nineveh. God said, oh, you're trying to run away, huh? Send a big fish in. Caught a storm and he was taken into the big fish mouth for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. How does it feel? Some people don't believe that it's possible. Do you know there was a record of a case, a real case? Happened? You can search for the internet. I had that record, I read it many years ago, of a man, a sailor, or what, he fell into the sea. He was actually swallowed by the whale. And he was inside the belly of that whale. And when he came out, after a few days, his body was white. You know why? The alcoholic acid. I mean, what they call that? Gastric acid reached his body. The stomach of the whale was big. You know, it's a big whale, it's a big thing, huh? It's a big fish. So he was in there. So it's not possible. People think that's just a myth. God just writing a funny story in there for you to laugh about. It's true. Yeah. And so he got out, then he realized. So you know one thing about it? God does not have bastard children. Remember? So if you want to go there, I shall refuse to do his will. He's going to deal with you real good. I have been dealt with by God a few times, real hard. One time was way back, you know, when I refused to obey. And I almost died. And I knew. My time is almost up. And I knew I got to get back. When I did get back then the very instant I was healed. I almost died. Dengue hemorrhagic fever. Blood already spitting up, bleeding already. And I was having hallucination. No drug worked for me. And my mom doesn't know. My brother all in the room doesn't know. I realized it was an 8th day. I know that I would die. Because that's too long already. All the blood stopped oozing out. I closed the door. I get right with God in that room. My mind was still having hallucination. I just got right in the room with God. I bowed and I cried. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I will do it. And that instant, the few evidences left. See? So God is going to deal with us. Don't take it lightly. God doesn't have master children. Remember that. Alright. Then what about hellward? Hellward are those who are lawless. What is lawlessness? Let us go to the book of Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of thy heart. Now we know that when we do the will of the Lord, we follow His will. But those that go hellward, now here we are, Christian, I'm talking about here, the will of the Lord, for us. Okay? Lawlessness is a state when people disregard the word of God. Huh? Do you remember disregard the word of God? When God said this, they refuse it. That's lawlessness. Because there's the spirit of the Antichrist coming into you and affect you. Look at the religious world today. Sure, look at the religious world today. When God sent Brother Branham with a message to call us out from all this blindness, this bondage of religious tradition, and stir us to come back to the Word of God, go back to the Pentecostal Father's faith. I'm not talking about the modern Pentecost, huh? I'm talking about Pentecost, the day that it just started. That's what Malachi 4, 5, and 6. John the Baptist was sent to turn the heart of the father to the children. Who was the father in his days? The Pharisaical, the priest, the rabbi, the religious leader, to the faith of the children. And that faith of the children, what faith was it? It was the faith of the gospel that John preached. John the Baptist. Because when John the Baptist came, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Is that right? And the religious leader could not accept it. Because they have their own tradition already. Judaism. Which still exists today anyway. And when John preached the truth, the common people accept it, believe it. But the Father, very hard for him to turn them. But his preaching affects some of them. Huh? They are Pharisees, they are listening. But they are not arguing. People like perhaps Nicodemus, who later on, when Jesus came, went to talk to Jesus Christ in the night. Baby Joseph of Arimathea. And later on, there were other Pharisees that were converted to Christianity. But those that whom John preached to, they were called the children. And some of them became disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the disciples of Christ became the apostolic father after Christ died, resurrected, went to heaven. They just started with the apostolic father. They have the apostolic foundation. They preached the truth. They laid the foundation. We call the apostolic foundation. The Bible mentioned about the apostle, the actual foundation. Right. But what happened to the churches after that? The Catholic Church came, the church in Rome came in, started an organization, it became the Holy Roman Empire, and then, well, God sent the reformers, one after another, Luther, Brown, Wickfield, and came along, and you have Wesley, huh? And then we have Brother Branham that came along to bring us back, point back to the Word. But no, tradition is so cool. You know, sometimes you watch you see what a Catholic do, especially in movies. You know, I like to watch about documentary in the old days, how the black people suffer in America, how they're mixed slaves. You know? And I like to know, sometimes I want to see what's going on in the Catholic Church. What's going on? And sometimes you see how the Catholic people, they have this ritual that is ritual is something that people practice. Huh? You go to Cambodia, you go to Vietnam or Thailand, you put a hand like this in greetings. Right? It's a very nice gesture. You know what I'm saying? Not like that. Not like the European. Hello, buddy! You put a hand like this, right? But when you have the star coming, you don't want to do that. Yeah, so that's the best thing, you know what I mean? I remember the time when the star was around, when I went over to India, Africa, I said, oh, let us do this. The greeting, you know what I mean? So it's a nice gesture, you know. And even in Africa, when I went to the home, when the woman folk came into the room, or the kids came into the room, they will bow down, you know, they will bow their knees, and then they will sit in my hand, you know, and just get a greetings. So you know the gesture. So in religion, there's also a lot of gesture. Huh? Even in paganism, Idol worship. You take a joss stick, you will do, don't know how they do it, this, that, or something like that, you know, on top of the head or something. You know, they have this gesture on them. No, in Catholicism, they always see this gesture. Like this, something like that, you know. And they do it so smoothly. It becomes a routine. They pass by a church, they will do that. You know, so it becomes a very ritualistic thing. So, in religion, that's what all it's all about. It's ritualism. And we don't want that. I want you to come to church as a ritual. I want you to come to church because be like King David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord to worship Him. Huh? That's what it's supposed to be. But lawlessness, what the Bible said, do this, you don't do it, that's lawlessness. But you would still rather keep your tradition. Look, for example, what the Bible said about water baptism. Repent and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And you tell that to the church, that this is the way that the Bible records how the early church were baptized, how the people there were baptized. Oh, no. We rather take Matthew 28, 19, because Jesus said so in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we don't care about it. What about a communion? A communion supposed to be from the Passover table, unleavened bread, and wine. No. It's Jacob's biscuit. You know, you buy it from Kongguan biscuit. Huh? Some kind of cracker biscuit. And they use it. Okay? And what about the cup? Oh, it's just grape juice. Ravina. That's what they use in the examples of that. Ravina. Remember, brother? And we know that the communion is taken at evening time. They have it, communion, for breakfast. And also for lunch. Communion is the Last Supper of the Lord. Evening time. That's why Paul said in the book of Corinthians, before you come and to the Lord's table, you eat it at home before you come. The communion table is not for you to come here. You know, that's a problem in those days, Paul's time, the Corinthian church. The rich bring their food as if they're having a party. And then when you have the Last Supper with Jesus Christ, the disciple, what did they do? They went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed throughout the night, right? That's why the Last Supper, when we come communion, you take your meal first before you come. And then after you have the communion, go home. Don't eat anymore. And just meditate upon the Lord's grace for you. What about feet washing? Oh, just only an example for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if I do it, you should do it one for another. But nobody, no denomination, don't do it. Why? That's lawlessness. And some, like, all kinds of, that's what we read about, that case of Donna Pannell. They don't believe in communion anymore. Because Christ is already here. He's here. I know He's here in my heart. I know His presence is here. But when we talk about His coming, we talk about His literal coming. Remember, Jesus said, remember when Jesus ascended heaven, there were angels saying, what are you looking at? To the disciple, what are you staring at? The same Jesus, as you see Him go, will come back in like manner. He will come back in the same way. He will be coming by your seeing, physically. So they did away with communion, did away with feet washing. In the Bible, Jesus, communion is an important thing in the Christian life. Jesus said, eat it, take it, eat it. This is my body. And as you do it in remembrance of me until I come. The reason why a lot of people don't do communion, why they don't want to do it? If you don't want to be a part of this communion, you feel very guilty, huh? Whenever you take the communion, you remember His death, what He has done for you. You should always remember that. See? And longer just go to church for that one. Think much about. I know Jesus can die for me. And you go to church and you listen to somebody and go home. You need to follow the will of the Lord. So here this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of thy heart. Lord, I delight myself in you. You know my desire in my heart, huh? I wanted a Mercedes Benz. Is that what the Bible is talking about? Some people say, I walk close to the Lord. I know I get what I want of the Lord. This desire of the heart, what is the desire of the heart? If your desire of the heart is physical, material thing and carnality, something is wrong with that desire. What is the desire of your heart? What is the who wrote this verse? Come on. King David. What was King David's desire? To walk close unto the Lord. I delight myself in the Lord. I walk close unto the Lord. That's what it is. The relationship between the child and the father. The son and the father. Or the daughter and the mother. The desire to walk close with him. Yes. And that my desire is what I want. See, there was this new website, as I told you just now earlier on. This young man, I think he was so frustrated with all the confusion he caught up in that churches, all these various churches. And he talked about how he believed that the third pool, remember, I'm talking about the third pool. The first pool, you know what it is when healing. The second pool is discerning the secrets of man's heart. The third pool is actually the speaking of the word. Okay, if you don't know, go read my book on Speak the Word. The spoken word ministry. That one, the gift life. He was talking about how the churches do not have the power, no supernatural, no presence of the Lord, no experience. Let me tell you something right here. Every one of us who are Christian, you must have an experience with the Lord. An experience the first time. The first time when you first heard the gospel, oh my, that's what I remember when I was a little boy. 12 years old, when I got a Baptist church, when that preacher was preaching a evangelical message. Well, I was in this church for a couple of months, you know, in the Sunday school, you know, kids go and go to Sunday school. So, but there was an evangelical meeting, so I went. Wow. A simple gospel message. And my heart was being tugged by God. The Lord was pulling me. You know, I know it was something that it's not natural. So it's a supernatural thing because here about the gospel, you realize you're a sinner, you go top, and so I went up to the front. And my life was changed. My life was changed. But that was an experience. But that doesn't mean that experience will hold you up for all the rest of your life. It's just like a seed that is sown. You need to water it. You need to give it light. Then you will grow. Do you understand? So, when we talk about experience with God, not just an experience. Every day in your life, your walk must be real with the Lord. It must be an experience. Whether you're on a bus, on a car, on a train, you should feel the presence of the Lord. You must be able to feel the presence of the supernatural. No, many times I wonder, you know, when I don't want to train or what, you look out in the sky, and, you know, look out the window, you see the blue sky, and my mind goes back to how on earth this creation comes about. Why like this and why like that? You think about the Lord, you know what I mean? You feel the supernatural around you. And not just to think, wow, one of these days, this whole earth will change and my body is going to change. I won't have no more white hair, pain in my body, no more, you know. I don't wear any glasses anymore. And mine, I can just walk through walls too. You know what I mean? Your mind, you see, your life as a Christian must be a daily walk with the Lord. Not just the particular time. Alright, so your desire of the heart, of course, not a blessing of early things, but getting closer with the Lord. So that is what we talk about, the knowledge. And when you deliberately ignore it, no one is saying it's going to happen. Let's go to, just for example, as I said, Acts 2:38. When you deliberately ignore it, then well, of course, that is lawlessness. Alright, now, so what is knowledge then? Where do you get knowledge? What is this Bible here written for in the first place? The Bible, Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration. Now, by that's the only one time I saw you, really, one time it appeared, this word, inspiration. The word should not be translated inspiration. All scripture is in breath by God. It's a better word than inspired by God, or written by inspiration. It should be translated as in breath. And what it means, say in breath, means God breathed life into it. Just like when he formed Adam of the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Huh? So the book, the Bible we have, is a treasure house. So what is it written for? Well, simply that you may know his will. And what is this? For that you may walk, live, love. Right? Listen. The word, what the King David said, the word of God is a lamp unto my pathway. Huh? It's a lamp unto my pathway. It shows you how you should walk. Your destination. The path of life. That's what knowledge is for. And when you refuse the word of God again, it is lawlessness. I reject this, I reject that. When Saul rejected the instruction from God, God says, I have also rejected you. King Saul, remember? What are supposed to do the priestly work of sacrificing? But he went ahead. Because Samuel was late. But who gave you the right to do it? Now today we have a lot of bunch of preachers who are not called of God to preach. But he went ahead. And look. I mean, you hear this, to be a preacher, you simply go to, my young nephew, he's not here today, Jimmy. Remember what he said one time? I already told you, you all laugh about it. When he was a little boy, he made this remark, Uncle Richard, you call me Uncle Richard, Pepe. He only works one day a week only. I work only one day a week because he sees me preach on Sunday, so it's one day a week I work. it is humorous, alright. But you see, every one of us, we need to go on our knees and pray, and sometimes we need to fast too. Reading the word of God, studying the word, not just reading it, but studying it. Getting the knowledge. But if we refuse those words, you know what? It's actually lawlessness. We disobey. Disobedience comes very easily, more than being obedient to the word. Right? Alright. When we take the knowledge of God's word, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, in the word of the Lord, we grow in maturity, we grow in grace. There's maturity, there is a stage of growth. But maturity is not because you are old. That may be so in the physical. Like Barakadi eat more salt than me, obviously, huh? It's because he's 3 years older than me, he must have eat more salt than me. Isn't it? But when we talk about spiritual maturity, it is not about your age, how old you are. It is about a state. A man can be a Christian for 40 years and he's not mature. And a person can be a Christian for 10 years and he's mature. When I talk about maturity, I talk about spiritual maturity. How do you gain, how do you get spiritual maturity? It is by the Word of God. Don't you see that? You understand what I'm saying? Now, you know one thing about, I think you read probably in our local reports about some doctors who, well, the way they treat patients, they are not really treating you. They are actually treating your pocket, your wallet. Do you not know that it's true, isn't it? I know a lot of doctors, when I was in the hospital, can you hear all that? They passed their what MBBS, minimum, huh? The first piece of paper you get to qualify as a doctor. MBBS, do the housemanship, 2 years in the hospital, after that, support, run away, set up your own clinic, make money. Well, that's okay, if he is a good doctor. And a good doctor, I mean this. Subscribe to journal, medical journal. You understand? Read. They don't. When you come in, oh, Panadol, antibiotics. And they're killing you. Well, I remember because I work in a mental hospital, those here, when the first miracle drug they call it. What is the name of that drug? Not penicillin. Then before the ampicillin comes in. I can't remember that, huh? Gromacillin. That's supposed to be a wonder drug. Well, I didn't know what it was. Wonder drug was, so what is it all about? And then I hear some of these male nurses asking the daughter, hey, doctor, give it back to me. And they give him one or two tablets, whatever, they take it. And then what they do with it? They take it down and then they go to the prostitute. So they will not get venereal disease. You know, they're really excited. That kind of doctors, you know. And we have surgeons who don't know how to operate because I wasn't a general hospital working there and I couldn't believe what I saw. Appendicitis, appendicectomy. When you operate, it's only, well, if you're not ready that good, maybe 1 inch. Wow, I have seen a doctor not even near the appendix section. It's almost near to your navel, 4 inches. When we realize this doctor is mad, he doesn't know his work. And when the senior consultant make his round, and we all just know that he's going to get in trouble. The nurse has to be there to present the case, and the doctor is there, the consultant is there, the senior registrar. We open up the wound. The consultant says, ask the doctor, what is that? What is this man suffering from? Oh, appendicectomy. That's an appendicectomy that looked like a laparotomy. He was fired, you know he was fired. You know we have doctors do that. So what makes a good doctor? It's one who keep up, update himself with the latest medication, latest treatment, latest discovery, whatever procedure. The same thing with you as a Christian. How can you be a good Christian? How can you be a Christian who's well aware of what's going on? How are you going to walk in the will of the Lord? How are you really following the will of God if you are not updating yourself in His Word? You know, the Bible is not an archaic book. You know that, don't you? It's not archaic. It's not about history, about the Jew. Do you know this Bible has economy inside that? You can study psychology, you want to know? You can study psychiatry, you want to study sexuality, it's also here. You want to know about how to invest money, it's also here. You want to know what's going to come for that world, it's inside here. Right? Yeah. And that's why, keep that in. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He may give a desire of the heart. Delight yourself in God so you get close. So Lord, I want to be close with you. Yes. And if a man refuses correction, that's a foolish man. If he refuses correction, you are a foolish man. You know, people try to correct my doctrine, you know, they say, I always welcome that. But don't come to me with all this confusion, mess of quotes here and there, and you're not telling me anything. Like the one that, well, last 2 years ago, he wrote me an email, you know, I just want to tell you, brother, again, that the dress, the white dress, is dressing is modest, but the one that your daughter wears is immodest. And I says, where do you get that picture? There's only one picture on the website that shows up, or in my book. And it was that Zoe was wearing a skirt. It's only when the wind blows, it goes in between the legs, huh? You know what I mean? The skirt goes. So I think that he does not see properly, or what? When you go look at it properly, you can see it. And I said, what do you mean by immodest? He said, skirt immodest. And he refused to reply and tell me. And he just quote me all about what the Bible says. I said, come on, tell me. Look at the picture, girl. You see, we have a lot of people, he wants to correct me, I'm thankful. But when I'm telling him that it is not, he refused. And that's the problem. And that's a foolish man. You know, simple will of God. What is the simple will of God? To love? Yeah, that's very simple. Yeah, God will call us to love, show grace, show mercy, just as brother Paul was talking about today, this morning. Yeah, we got to love one another. We got to love. We got to show grace. We got to show mercy. That's one of the simple will of God. Huh? Go to the book of Psalms. 118. Now, we want to see, once you have the desire, once you have the knowledge, You get knowledge from studying the word. So what are you going to do now? You got all this knowledge here. What are you going to do? 118 verse 27. God is the Lord. Our God is the Lord. The Lord is our God. Actually, that's a better translation. Which have showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Oh, your sacrifice? See. Bind the sacrifice with cord, even unto the horns of the altar. You know, when they take the goat or the sheep for sacrifice, the altar has four horns. Huh? Four sides. Now, when there are so many people having a lot of sacrifice, they come, they give their offerings to the Lord, they sacrifice to the Lord, they bring in their gold, they bring in their lamb, or they bring their heifer, or whatever, little calf. You tie it to the horn, so that this sacrifice will not run away. Huh? So now, that's what we should do, somebody. What it is supposed to say here is submit completely. Don't say, yes, Lord. A desire to do your will. Huh? The next woman, that sacrifice, tabot. Right away. You know what I'm saying? You don't carry it through. So make sure that sacrifice is tied to the altar of sacrifice. Don't let it run away. That is so true. Many of us, we are living in this life, but sometimes it's easy to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yeah, that is something is quite true about prayer meeting. I don't know how you feel about it. Prayer meeting. And we try to be here on Friday and have some time in prayer. Sometimes we share too long into it that we don't really get into time of prayer. But prayer meeting. Well, don't talk about prayer meeting. But even prayer. Sometimes our prayer is a bluff. Smile, huh? You agree with me? Sometimes your prayer is a bluff. You just mumble a few words. Oh Lord, you know, I mean, I know you already know. You don't see that. How many of you have done that? I mean, how many of you did that? I'm real tired, Lord, you know. You know, it's not bluffing God, bluffing ourselves. Yes. When we talk about prayer, do we really pray? That's the thing. See, that's why I want you to open your mouth and pray. No prayers are here. Prayer means to say words, not think words. Let us pray. You know, it's all inside here. I mean, what is he praying? It's inside here. But God knows our thought. I know God knows your thought. Right? Even if we can praise the Lord in our thought. God wants you to praise Him with your mouth. The Bible says, hold it up your hands and open your mouth and praise the Lord. Not go to Israel. Go to Israel and see what they do over the wailing wall. They really pray. They pray. They make noise and they. When you cry, can you? I mean, when you really cry, you know, when I see Adam cry, my little grandchild cry, tears all coming down. But when you cry, some people cry. No tears. You know, it's all your emotion. Just think about it. When the Bible says, lift up your hand, praise the Lord, lift up your hands, and you know what I'm saying. But we are not, because we are in the comfort zone, everything is downwards. It's very hard to lift up the hand. That's the real thing. It's not because Rodney Gunn is the gravity, you know. Gravity, he put a hand up. Even our mouth. Very hard to smile. You lift up the muscle, you know. They are very hard to lift up the muscle. I believe it was 16 muscles, if I'm not mistaken, 16 muscles in the mouth to lift up your smile. But there are only 3 muscles that goes downward. Easy. It's so hard to lift up your arm. Everything just like that. So, to do the will of God, it is, you have to counter our comfort zones, our attitude. You know what I mean? We're so comfortable in everything we live in this life that spiritually we just don't react to the Spirit of the Lord. Huh? So when we say, "Oh Lord, thy will be done." Oh, Matthew 6. Yes. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 10. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. So you see the word here, thy will be done in heaven as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, in heaven, so in earth, that is to say. That means to say that you desire God's will. And if God's will is true and you desire it, which is heavenward, on this earth it must be done. You have to do it. You all know that God loves you? How many of you feel that God don't love you? When you are down and out, you feel that God don't love you, huh? How many of you know that God loves you? Yeah, we know that God loves us. Yeah, sure. So we respond to Him. Isn't it? So if God loves us in heaven, looking down, love you. So that must be a response, isn't it? Yeah. You see. And if you believe God's will be done in heaven to what He has for you, then you must respond to fulfill that will. Is that not right? Yeah. And He will make you do it. Remember Jonah. Because if you are part of the elect. Now I'm talking about elect. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about elect. Not all Christians are elect. Neither are all Israel elect. As Paul said, not all Israel are Israel. Right? Not everybody goes to church and says, I'm a Christian. I'm really Christian. You all know that, don't you? Yes? So, let us fulfill the will of the Lord. Okay, there's always the conflict that comes in. As I said, there will always be conflict. Okay, so burn your sacrifice to the altar. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. So now you have your desire, you have your knowledge, and you submit yourself to the Lord. God is able to give you the ability to perform it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things with a lot of murmuring. That would be terrible. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, that's better. God will give us ability. If you have the desire, if you have the knowledge, you gain the knowledge, and you submit yourself, He will give you the ability. So, you cannot say, I desire, and then you don't want to get the Bible, the Word of God. Because if you don't want to get the Word of God, how are you going to submit yourself? Because you know nothing about what God wants you to do. That's not why my desire, when I first came to the truth, I said, I want to know who my God is. Huh? And I want to know who I am. Yes? Yes. See? So, when you have that, God will give you the ability to perform so that you, without murmuring, without disputing. How many of you can tell me that you've never murmured and grumbled and disputed? We're all guilty, huh? We're all guilty. Why? Because we are still in this natural body. That's why we have this frustration. But when you do that, remember, God is watching and going, He's encouraging us. Always realize that He's around. I mean, look at Jonah. He murmured too, he grumbled. Dispute with God, huh? You know. But he says something to the Lord, and I'm not going. And then he quickly ran over, take a boat and go see. So if you do it real fast, God will make you come back even faster. Or help you sit down and wait and learn. And God will help us too. Yeah? Alright, you look at Israel anyway. Israel is a good example. They murmur throughout the journey. And God still show grace. Provide them quail. Quail! Wow, quail! We have been eating manna all the time, now we got quail. After 1 month, and we get quail! I'm sick of quail! You know, people will never be satisfied with anything. You know, we have what we have in Singapore. We have all kinds of restaurants. From the European one to the African restaurant. You know the African restaurant? Yes. You know? So we have all kinds of food here. So you can taste all kinds of international cuisine. But you know, in Africa, they don't have that. What do they have practically every day? Grounded corn with some salt and some red beans and some vegetables. Meat, very rare. That's what they have. And they are thankful to eat. But here, oh my. Go to the cafeteria, food court. It's a large food court. We have a one big row, and everyone know what to buy, and then go around, second row, everybody's laughing. We are all guilty of that. Don't know what to eat. You know what I'm saying? You go around, and you go back one round, and you spend 10 minutes walking around, still don't know what to eat. Hey, my. Alright, that's Israel we have. And of course, we always blame society. Why is the food so terrible? But today, cook until like that. How come it's so tasteless today? You know, we blame all society. Oh, maybe you didn't wake up in the morning early enough to get the proper food ingredient and some things like that. So we always blame our society. Even coming to church, we come late. We come late. Oh, yeah, we come late, we blame the children too. Oh, we blame you on the traffic. What? Huh. We will always find something to blame. And when we find something to blame, it becomes a habit. We always take that advantage. Right? We don't want to blame ourselves for waking up late. So we wake up early, but my children know. Yeah, I wake up early, I drive. But you know, traffic is terrible. But so, all kinds of excuses we give. Oh, the Bible said God will give us ability, so we can overcome. We can come early when we know that our children delay us. We can wake up early, beat them, give them a little spanking, right? And that's the same, yes, good. And then when we know that traffic is going to be heavy, we wake up a little early. You know. And we can. You see, the desire is still in our heart. Not on circumstances, not on any society problem. You know how beautiful a diamond is, huh? When you buy it from the shop, of course. But do you know how diamond, the raw diamond is not like that. You don't go to hunt for a diamond in a rock or someplace and think, oh, a nice, all well cut like this. No, it's not. It's just a rough piece of rock. Stones. Huh? And how is diamond cut? What do they use to cut diamond? Diamond cut diamond. Interesting. Diamond cut diamond. And that's why Christ is the diamond of God and we are His diamond and we are round. When Christ came, remember when Christ came? What did he do? He was still a raw diamond. He was not a polished diamond. He was, what the Bible says in the book of Luke, he learned. Yeah, he learned. He learned to submit himself to the Father. He said, I cannot do anything until I see what my Father do. See, he prayed to the Father. He submitted himself to God. Do you see that? So now that Christ is a cut diamond, now we are the raw diamond. So he's still cutting us. He's polishing us. Right? And of course it's painful, huh, when you grind diamond against diamond. Yep. And we are hurting. Sure. But God wants to keep us. Want to polish us as a gem. Fit for His crown. Okay? Alright, He is able to help us to perform. Some people, how many of you love animals? Some of you don't like animals, I see. Wow. Do you know when you love animals, for example dogs, you ought to know that you must know, I mean, you don't just take a dog, you must know the breed of the dog, the habit of the dog, you know, what kind of disease you will get. Different dogs are susceptible to different kind of disease. How many of you love a horse? My horse. Okay, you like a horse. Everybody would like to have a horse, if it be possible. But you know one thing? People say, I like a horse. Or like people say, I love a dog. But you know, you don't take care. Do you know you have a horse? You need to know the behavior of the horse, and you know that it does not for you. Oh, the horse is there, I want to come and ride. You know, the first thing you know that if you want a horse, you must know how to ride. And you must know how to clean the horse. And he has a stable. Of course, you want to ask somebody to take away all the poo. Huh? But if you are in the farm, your own horse, you have to clean the stable, right? So that's a lot of work. That's what it is all. It's a lot of work, so God is able to help us perform all this. Spiritually in our life, a spiritual life. Not just thinking about things that we love, we need to learn, yes. Need to take care, yes. So same thing with our life. We want to get closer to the Lord. You know, we want to walk with God. When we submit ourselves to the Lord, God will give us ability in our life to live the life of Christ. Yes. That is His will. Alright, then Psalms 48. A few more verses, we close. Psalms 40, verse 8. And it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, the love for God's will. Some people don't like to find it very hard to do God's will. Very hard. What about coming to fellowship on Friday? Is it that difficult? Maybe if you come, well, we start at 8 o'clock, only 2 hours, 8 to 10. Brother Jimmy always comes late because he rushed from work. You know. So, okay, we're late for 15 minutes, no problem. Even if you're late for 1 hour, we get to discuss and share something, go on your knees and pray. Delight to do that one, O Lord. You know one thing Paul says, not forgetting to examine ourselves together. Right? As you see the day fast approaching. Yeah. Some people, you know, there is a brother in India. I think South Africa. He's an Indian, but he works in South Africa. When I sent him the email about what's going on in Catholic Church and the Charismatic Church, and he see that, well, he's scared. He says, "Brother, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I tremble. I don't know what to do." And I wrote him and said, "Why? I'm not ready." I feel that I'm going to get out of the rapture. I said, since you know all this, what are you going to do? I mean, I can't help you. I cannot get your life ready for you, huh? You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you want to take a trip and fly, you make sure you have your passport. Right? You make sure you have your air ticket, you make sure you have a visa. Okay, then I can take for you. But as for your luggage, I can't. Because you know, in America, it's very strict. Huh? Now here, of course, Singapore, very few times they have been asked, did you pack your own luggage this morning before you come here? Remember they ask you in America, in some places, who packed the luggage for you? You know what I mean? They say, oh, my friend. And maybe your friend might put something inside that is illegal. So if you want to make the rapture, you've got to pack your own luggage. Right? Carry your own burden. Remember? Sure. See. So that's what we should do. I did not do like will. John 4. 34. John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, my food, my nutrition is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. So, you know, when you are here, God has chosen you to be a part of His family. Right? You agree with that? I mean, you didn't choose God. God chose you, actually. We know that, don't you? Nobody search after God, but God search after man, which is true. When He search for you, then He pull in your heart, and then you respond. Then he said, yes, Lord, I will. Then he said, I choose.
Is that true?
Yes. It's just like, how much is the dog in the window? You know the song, huh? Okay, here, you know, sometimes, if you go to this corner, this dogs for adoption. You know, you go to there, you go to this corner, there you see all dozens of dogs. Okay? You walk there, you go, all the dogs will come to the window, the cage. Try to go attention. Take me home. Take me home. I'm better than nothing. Take me home. You know, sometimes you see a dog, oh my, this one is nice, you know? And I remember seeing that little thriller, I mean the little factual, that this boy went with his parents to look for a dog. Nice dog. But he looked for, when he saw one that was, I think, lame, I think they don't have a front paw. And this dog looked at him. He said, Mom, Dad, I want that dog. I said, no, son, that dog is crippled. No, Lord, I mean, that Dad, I want it. You see, the boy chose that dog. You see what I mean? You see, that's the thing about God. Look for us. Lord, God chose you. You're crippled in life. You are a sinner in your life. You're bad, you know, all the things that you've done. God chose you. And you know, once a dog is a man's best friend, always dog will always stay with you. But not man. A human being is terrible. And that's why I dislike people who take a dog home, buy 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 dogs, keep them for 2-3 years, find trouble, some, throw it out somewhere in Yochukang, Chochukang, and somewhere in the jungle. What is that? Did they call love? No. It's selfishness. They only love to cuddle, cuddle, cuddle. After that, of cuddling already, when this dog becomes a nuisance, it seemed to them because a lot of labor, a lot of work to do. You've got to go out there in the morning, take him to go for a walk and poo and all that stuff, pick up all that. You don't want to do it. And when the dog is sick, then you've got to spend money. When the operation, the surgeon says, well, it's going to cost about $3,000. Wow, put him to death. You know, euthanizing, what do you call it? What is the word? Euthanizing, yeah, the dog. Because you don't want, that's not love. You see, that's humankind. So I did not to do the will of the Lord. So let us do it. And when you hear what Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's my food. Our food, our spiritual food is to do what God desires us to do, to fulfill His will in us. Amen. So we need to listen to His voice among all this hustle and bustle of life. Alright, so lastly, let me just close. With all that, what is God's purpose? When you say you desire God's will, and then you go into getting knowledge from God's word, and then when you get the knowledge, then God says, you need to submit. Since you know all this is what my word teaches you, submit yourself. So you submit yourself, and then He gives you the ability to perform, to fulfill His word. But in all this, what is God's purpose? Is that that when you do it, you are personifying God's will in your life. You are personifying His will. You are doing it, you are making it to show what God's will is for mankind. When the mankind look at you, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm living more supernatural, so to speak, because God is always with you. He has not forsaken you. We may forsaken Christ. We may forsaken God and run away from Him. Like Jonah, a man running from the presence of the Lord. But God always catch up with you. The presence of the Lord, no matter you run away from Him, He will catch up with you. Do you understand that? Like Christ, He fulfilled God's will. He's personifying God's will when He fulfilled it. And people began to see who Christ really is. And even Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. My life is not my own. I am purchased with a price. So your life is not your home. Whole life, completely our life is not our home. May the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Take these few thoughts, O Lord, and break it down further to each and every one of our hearts. Surely, Lord, we do desire to do thy will. Unless we spend time, Father, in your word, to know, as Paul said, that he prayed that that the believers will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Father. So when we know more of you, Father, more of your word, surely, Lord, your spirit will lead us to submit ourselves, to fulfill your word. And when we do that, Father, we know you give us the ability by thy spirit, O Lord, to help us to fulfill, to perform all of it. We thank you, Father, for in this, Lord, our love for you and our life personify your will in the church of God and even towards mankind. And we thank you, Father. And we thank you for the example that Jesus Christ has set for us. And even the sins of all, like Paul, like King David. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we watch and pray as to the hour we live in, help us to realize the time is late. And the coming of the Lord is surely upon us. We thank you, Lord, Father, for your word of life. Keep us all. We commit all this to you in Jesus' name.